Guys, it's that time of year again where we talk basketball, a little bit of something else, and then more basketball. Guys, stay tuned. Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Hey. I don't know the song. What's the song?
All right. This is my boy, Landon. This is my production partner, my best friend. He's released a single called Moonlit District. He does like some like baby making type music.
I like it.
Yeah, he's dope. So I'm just giving him a plug right quick.
Is that a naked girl on the
video? I don't
know.
That's a YouTube channel that picked up the song. Oh. So they decided on that cover. That's not his cover art.
What's his name again?
Landon, but he spells it L-V-N-D-V-N.
Ah, okay, Landon. Yeah. Landon, what's his, that's his whole, like,
that's
artisan.
His artist name.
So y'all, check out Landon, please.
Baby making music.
He's a friend. He makes baby making music.
Yeah, we make music together. I work on his album and stuff like that. He's my production partner, my best friend, so.
We like you, Landon. Yeah. You guys out there have to like him, too, because the squad likes him, then you gotta like him. Guys,
yes.
we're a little light tonight.
Let's go, Erica!
We pour one out to Josh Johnson, who's no longer with us.
I'm still upset about that.
Isn't that crazy?
And he just, like, threw it up on us. Like it was nothing. Like, all right, guys, I'm leaving.
Okay. Well.
I see how it is, Josh.
That's okay.
We miss him, though.
J-Rod and I are going to hold it down for y'all, though.
Yes.
Erica Renee Davis, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on InstaStory at Erica Renee D.
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Hit me up because I love to debate.
He loves to debate.
And that's what me and Erica are about to do right now.
Right.
Let's do this.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly.
Let's get it.
Okay. Tony Romo.
Oh, Tony.
Tony Romo. Okay. You have a soft spot in your heart.
I do. I have a very soft spot for Tony Romo.
Please tell me why. Like, elaborate.
I just think he's very underappreciated.
What's up, chat room?
Demo's already in the chat.
Hey, Demo.
Demo. I just think he's very underappreciated. You know, he's one of the best quarterbacks in Cowboys history by his stats. I mean, honestly, if you look at stats, if you go player A, player B, his stats are better than Troy Aikman's, which is that Troy Aikman has the rings.
And I hate to be the person. I don't think that you can define a professional player's career by rings only.
Okay.
But Tony Romo has a very dismal record when it comes to postseason appearances.
He's 2-4.
And so he's over, what, 10 years as a Cowboy? 12 years. Well,
he took over late in 1 year. So let's just say 11. He got hurt. 10, 11. But yeah.
Okay.
About a decade
of football for the Cowboys. And you've only had six playoff games.
Yes.
And of those, you've only won two.
Yes.
Listen, he is an amazing regular season quarterback. Phenomenal regular season quarterback. And I think the fact that he was so loyal to the Cowboys that he wanted to not go to the Texans, he would have rather retire a Cowboy than to go jump from team to team, like a lot of legends do. That speaks a lot for his idea of wanting to be loyal to a team.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him a good quarterback.
It doesn't make him a good quarterback, but he is a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
I would argue
he's a
maybe
good quarterback.
I would argue Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay, so Let's take a step back before we argue about Hall of Fame, because Stephen A. Smith had some really interesting points.
He did? I didn't see.
Stephen A. Smith
was
really
ripping him, or was he?
Demo, I don't know if you guys, chat room, I don't know if you guys saw what
chat
Stephen
room.
A. Smith had to say, but he's basically said that, you know, Stephen A. Smith makes everything racial all the time.
He does.
And sometimes, you know, it's gratuitous, but sometimes it has some value. This, I think it was unnecessary, but he said that basically if Tony Romo had been a black athlete who had had so much failure in the postseason, he would not have been celebrated that way. I'm just reporting.
I disagree with that because people look at Tony Romo's playoff failures and they judge him based off of that. His whole reputation is based off of the fact that he's 2-4 and has failed in the playoffs.
But then got a whole day dedicated to him.
He did, but that's Dallas. I mean, that's something Mark Cuban did personally. That wasn't so much, you know, the sports world doing that for him. That was one individual deciding to do that for him.
So Tony Romo Night started with Tony Romo having his own jersey with the number 9 on the back, with Romo on the back. Mark Cuban actually tried to lobby the NBA to let him have a one-day contract. Adam Silver shot that down and was like, no, I don't want this to be a spectacle. But even though he was not able to play, he did shoot around. He did get in the layup line. Mm-hmm. If you saw the video of Tony Romo, guys, chat room, people out there, if you saw the video of him shooting around before the game, he looked pretty good.
He's not bad. He's an athlete.
He looked good. He made like 3 of 5 three-pointers.
Yeah.
He made 100 layups or more or whatever.
Hit a nice step back jumper on Devin Harris.
Did. Yep. And Dirk was like, I really had to concentrate on checking him. Dirk said that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who are basketball purists are arguing that if Mark Cuban had gotten his wish and Romo had been able to actually play, even check in for 40 seconds or less, that would have been an insult to NBA players.
Okay. Now, I don't agree with that necessarily, just for the simple fact that you're celebrating Dallas. I don't want to use the word icon. Icon's a very strong word.
He's an icon in Dallas.
Yeah.
He's an icon in Dallas.
A beloved figure in Dallas. Yeah. And I think it was Tony Romo night. That's basically what it was. And if it's Tony Romo night, if you're celebrating one of the best quarterbacks in Dallas Cowboys history, then you just look at it as that. You don't have to take it as seriously as, oh, you're lessening the game. It was two teams that are not going to the playoffs. None of them had anyone to bring up from the D-League. I mean, it's one game. I could understand if you use the argument like there's a guy in the D-League working his ass off year in, year
but
out.
But there are guys in the D-League working their asses off who have put in more work in the basketball regard than Tony Romo has.
But how many D-Leaguers got called up for the last game of the season for any team?
Okay, so would you rather Tony Romo have an opportunity to play a game on a one-day contract versus a D-leaguer who actually played college ball,
I would prefer the D-leaguer, but that situation doesn't happen. D-leaguers don't get called up for the last game of the season for games that don't matter. It doesn't happen. So that whole scenario is a huge hypothetical.
So if you're an NBA player, period, would you have not felt offended had Tony Romo gotten some playing time?
I think some people would have felt offended.
Would you personally have felt offended?
I personally wouldn't have, no. Would you?
I think so.
Why? Just because you it's your profession and you feel like it's making a mockery of it?
I think it's a slippery slope. I think you let Tony Romo do it, then you got to let Aaron Rodgers do it, then you got to let Michael Vick do it, and then you got to let, I think that it's... Okay, on Sports Nation, they made a great analogy. They were like, well, on Empire, the show Empire on Wednesday nights on Fox, you have a bunch of songstresses, producers who come in and... they make cameos on the show. They're not trained actors or trained actresses, but because the show is about music, they come on and make their cameo. And someone on Sports Nation was like, well, other actors could feel like, oh, my craft is being disrespected because she's a singer. Estelle's a singer. She's not an actress. And so I feel that because sports is supposed to be a meritocracy, it's supposed to be talent and skill-based, I would feel offended that Tony Romo, who has not played this sport since high school, gets to come on for 40 seconds just for the pomp and circumstance of his retirement party.
On the last game of the season when it means absolutely nothing to either team.
The implications going forward, I think, are too heavy to let one person do it because then everyone's going to want to do it. That's just...
But what implications are we talking about?
We're talking about, like I said, when Aaron Rodgers wants to do it or when Peyton Manning wants to, I guess, suit up with the... who's Denver?
Peyton Manning.
You
could say Nuggets or Pacers.
Or Pacers. Yeah. So, and listen, I think Mark Cuban is a genius. I think that he has great marketing savvy. I think he's a marketing genius. I think
He's a smart man.
Huh?
He's a very smart man.
So super smart. Yeah. And no one would have come to that game had Tony Romo not been like the centerpiece of that game. Smart for doing that. But I think Adam Silver made the right decision to be like, nope, I would have been offended.
Okay. I could see that side of the argument. I'm not going to lie. I just feel like it's not as big a deal as people are making it out to be.
Demo.
Demo says, what Demo? Celebrating an underachiever, Dallas doing it right.
Seriously.
I mean, I look at it as the Cowboys underachieved, not so much Romo. That's how I look at it. I can bring up Romo's playoff stats for you right now.
Okay, well, let me ask you. So why is it that, so when a quarterback excels, we want to put the whole team on his shoulders and say, this is the reason that the Cowboys are doing well because Dak is a phenomenal rookie. But now you're saying, oh, it's not Tony Romo's fault.
No, I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous that we give all the praise to the quarterback when they win and all the praise to the quarterback when they lose. There's 53 guys on the field.
Yeah.
On the roster. Honestly, if you want to think about it, the most important players on the football field, it might be the quarterback, but you can make the case as the offensive and defensive line. If your offensive line can't hold you up, you're not moving the football at all. So I think it's ridiculous people just basically solely judge things on the quarterback. That's my thing with Brady.
True.
I mean, you always know what I felt about Brady. I think Brady's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he's won 5 Super Bowls mainly because of Belichick and because of
coaching,
the system.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying he's not great. He's one of the greatest of all times, but he's not the greatest quarterback I've ever seen because he's just skill-wise, I can name players who are better than him.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, as an athlete, I think he looks the part as an athlete, but to actually put him on the field next to other athletes, I think he probably is not the most athletic.
Right.
Okay.
Not even just that. He's not a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. He was in a better situation than Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. He's on a better team than Aaron Rodgers. And he'll go down as a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers for the simple fact that he won 5 Super Bowls. But, I mean, skill-wise, he's not a better quarterback.
5 Super Bowls.
He's not a better – he doesn't move like Aaron Rodgers.
No, he doesn't.
Run like Aaron Rodgers. He's not more – he's not a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
But he's probably, other than Aaron Rodgers, the –
He's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not taking that away
from him.
He absolutely is one of the best of all time.
Chat room. Y'all, I know they're...
What up, chat room?
Y'all can still talk to me and J-Rod. I mean, absolutely. Come on. Don't abandon us because Sexy Raina's not here and Mocha Latte Charlie's not here. Y'all can still talk to us, too. We'll still talk to you. Okay. NBA first round.
Yes. Let's get it, Erica.
Let me get my notes.
All right, let's do it.
Look at all my receipts.
Get your receipts.
Celtics versus Bulls, Cavs versus Pacers, Raptors versus Bucks, Wizards versus ATL, Shawty, East, West, Golden State, Portland, Spurs, Memphis, Rockets, OKC, Clippers, Jazz. What is the most predictable of
the most predictable?
The most predictable.
That's going to be Blazers, Warriors. Warriors are going to destroy them in 4 or 5 games.
Although Damian Lillard has gone on record and has been saying to the press that we're going to win in 6. I mean, okay.
What is he supposed to say?
He's not supposed to say that shit. Connection is ridiculous. What the hell?
I mean, you gotta show some confidence. You know what I mean? If my point guard and best player is like, I don't know, or I want my point guard and my leader to be fearless.
Okay, so let's take that and look at D Wade. When people have been asking D Wade about how he feels about the Bulls being the 8th seed, he gave a very practical response. He was like, this is a hard road ahead. He didn't give some romantic, fantastical. Oh yeah, we're gonna take down the number 1 seed.
Yeah,
and maybe that's a 10-year thing. Maybe because D-Wade has rings, he knows that, it's an uphill battle. Damian Lillard could have been more honest about that.
Okay, but I don't know if you remember, back in, 2012, the Bucks played the Heat first round, and Brandon Jennings said that we're going to beat the Heat in 6. This is when LeBron was on the Heat.
Okay.
And I think D-Wade might be recalling that and be like, all right, we made Brandon Jennings look stupid.
Oh, man.
I don't want to look stupid. Plus, D-Wade knows he's not going to win that series.
God, no. And he's still hurt anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So my most predictable series, I said, was... in the East, Celtics Bulls.
Okay, so you think the Celtics are just...
Yeah, I don't think that the Celtics are on a streak, they're on a tear, yes. But the Bulls, the fact that the Bulls even got into the playoffs as an,
it was luck, they had the Nets rest their starters.
Right,
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think they're going to take a game or two. I think the Celtics are going to win the series, don't get me wrong. But I think, Jimmy Butler has a big game. I think Rondo has a revenge factor playing against the Celtics. I think if Hoiberg plays them a couple of games, that Rondo might be inspired to make a little bit of difference at home.
But Rondo's so emo.
No, he is. He is. But let's not pretend like the Bulls don't have players. I mean, Wade is Wade. I know he's hurt, but, I just think they can steal a game or two in Chicago, but the Celtics are going to
I say Celtics sweep that series.
Really? I could see that, too, because the Bulls, they've been inconsistent all year, so, they can just throw a dud, they're a team, and I'll give you this, they're a team to quit.
Who, the Bulls are?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, if things start going wrong, they just...
That's my most predictable. Demo, what's your... Demo, whoever else is in the chat room, is anyone in the chat room?
We got new. Ty Star. Romo's not a Hall of Famer. Blazers in 5.
Blazers in 5. Wait, Ty Star. Ty Star, are you from Portland?
And then Demo says Damian's just showing confidence.
I like that in Damian. I mean,
he's one of the best point guards in the league.
He is. I agree with you on that.
And I honestly think he really believes it because I think he has a chip on his shoulder. You have people talking about Steph Curry all the damn time, and I honestly think he thinks he's the best point guard in the league, which, if you really want to make a case for him, I bet you probably could, even though I don't think he is. But, when you're that young and you're that talented and you're entering your prime, Listen, he's that good for a reason. He has that much confidence in himself.
So Warriors and how many for that series?
4.
That Damian claims they're going to...
5 max.
I say Warriors in 5.
You think Blazers get a game?
Okay. I say they get a game. Okay, so my most predictable series in the West, I say Spurs-Memphis, and I really struggled with that.
Yeah.
Because Memphis, this is their 5th or 6th consecutive year making the playoffs. They are a solid team who matches up well with several teams in the West.
We've never really discussed Memphis on this panel, but... One thing you probably know about me, I love Memphis. I love the way they play.
Yeah.
But Tony Allen's out. He's doubtful for the series. Conley's there, but Tony Allen's like heart and soul.
Yeah.
He's their best defender. And that's, that's what they are built on. Their defense, grind city, that's what they call it. And, without Tony, I don't see them winning the game. I think the Spurs actually... No, I'll give them one game.
Marc Gasol's good.
Connolly.
Zebo.
They're just not... Their window to win a championship was probably 2 or 3 years ago when they lost to the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals. I think that was their best team. Their days are long gone.
So would you agree that that's one of the most predictable?
Yes, and most boring.
And the most boring.
One of the
but
most
what,
boring.
But what's the most, what could be more boring
I
than
think, I think Wizard Talks is going to be pretty boring.
I disagree.
Really?
Because Atlanta does the same thing every year, which is get the fourth or the fifth seed, and then each of their series always goes to seven. It always ends up being an exciting series, and I don't...
When they got the one seed, they went six or seven against the Nets.
Like, what the hell are y'all doing? Everyone's like, are you a Hawks fan? No, I'm not a Hawks fan, but I still cheer for them when they make it to the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, my home state team, but I think that could be a good... I think that's going to be a good series.
Okay.
BPI for that, by the way, for Wizards, Hawks. Wizards have a 67% BPI chance of winning.
That high?
Right, and Atlanta has a 33%.
I got the Wizards in that, too, but I give the Hawks more of a chance
than
that.
Me, too.
I got Wizards in six. What do you have?
I say, you know, at the end, we got to go through all our predictions.
Okay, we'll do
it. Okay, so the most intriguing, the most exciting chat
There's
room.
Two.
Y'all get in on this
There's
one.
There's two. The easy one to say is Rockets Thunder. That's the easy one to say. The other one I'm going to say is Raptors Bucks. I think that's going to be a great
With
series.
With the Greek Freak.
Ooh, I think that goes seven.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's a team on the rise. I don't think this is their year to kind of burst through. I think they're a year early right now. But I think Giannis Antetokounmpo.
How do you pronounce it?
Antetokounmpo.
There you go. See, I'll never say
that. We can
that
just call him the Greek Freak.
I'll never say that.
He is top 10 player in the league. I think next year he's going to be an MVP candidate. I think he's going to have a coming out party. I'm not a fan of the Raptors. I think they take a lot of low percentage shots. I think DeRozan is very talented, but when you rely on a step back fadeaway or mid range game off the dribble, those are low percentage shots. I mean, you want to be taking layups or open threes in today's.
Who's a Raptors big man? Who's their center?
Ibaka now.
That's right.
And Valanciunas they have. They're big. So, I mean, the length of, you know, the Bucks are not going to hurt that much. I mean, the Bucks are big guards. They're huge guards.
They
Chris Middleton is big. The Greek Freak, he's big.
And he's a point forward.
He's a point forward, yeah.
He's 6'11".
Yeah. I go back and forth with this. I don't know who I'm picking. I had a podcast earlier with my friend AJ, and I picked the Raptors, but he picked the Bucks. And ever since he picked the Bucks, I'm like, you know what?
I'm going to go later on. We'll do it then.
Yeah. But that's going to be, to me, that's going to be a great series along with the Rockets and the Thunder. What do you have?
Okay, so my most intriguing in the East, I would say Wizards Atlanta, just because I'm so used to, you know. And when Paul Pierce was playing, I know this was many moons
ago. No, I know what you're talking about.
But those were some
the
good
Hawks gave them, yes,
right!
They took them to seven.
Right!
Yeah, you're
those
right.
That was a really good series.
Yeah, and they finished like four games below .500 that year.
I know something.
Mike Bibby was on that team. I remember that squad.
So I'm kind of throwing it back to the yesteryear Wizards, but every year the Wizards and the Hawks kind of both do the same thing in playoffs. They take it to seven. They keep you on the edge of your seat while the Cavs and everyone else is at home on the sofa watching Atlanta, and the Wizards are always still playing.
Yeah.
So that to me is the most exciting in the East. But in the West, the most nerve-wracking for me, obviously. But the most exciting to me, I think, will be Clippers-Jazz.
That's going to be a great series.
Because the Jazz, for me, they don't get television time.
Nope.
And so when you see them play, you're like, who the hell are these
players?
Good.
They're good.
Who is Hayward? Who
the
is
Jazz
this guy?
Are good.
Who are these people?
Yeah. They're like the Milwaukee Bucks of the West to me.
They are.
They're a year earlier. They're not going to break through this year. But
not
next
as
year,
big.
They,
not
right,
as big.
Not as big, but just they move the ball very well. Gordon Hayward is a stud. Rudy Gobert is one of the best big men in the league. They're a problem. And the Clippers are going to have a lot of problems with that. They really are. I can see the Jazz winning that series. I'm not saying they are, but that's going to be a competitive game series. I think it goes seven. Stay tuned to see who I pick, but I think that series goes seven.
Chat room, what's chat room saying about?
Demo says most exciting Cavs versus Pacers.
Why, Demo?
I think Demo, and Demo, you can correct me, I think the Cavs have been struggling defensively and they haven't been playing that well.
And
Paul George has been kind of lightening up, and you know the history that Lance Stevenson has with LeBron might add to it. But I don't know. I don't think the Pacers have enough firepower to compete with the Cavs.
The Pacers barely sneaked in, too. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't say this. The Cavs have looked awful the past month, actually. Like, past 30 days, they have looked not like the Cavs team that could win a championship.
Yeah.
But the Pacers would not be the team to challenge them on the way to a championship.
They don't have enough offensive firepower. Besides Paul George, I mean, who do you really have scoring the basketball on a consistent basis? No one really.
Is Lance coming off the bench?
Lance, I mean, he was irrelevant until he got traded back to the Pacers. He's been doing good now that he's back in Indiana. I just think Indiana's the right team for him, but I don't know. And then Demo says Rockets and OKC in the West, which I agree. That's going to be such a fun series.
And, you know, I like that Harden and Westbrook seem to still have a mutual respect for one another.
Yeah.
I think that makes it more fun. I mean, of course, when you have Rockets, Warriors, if they end up facing each other, the villain factor, you know, good guy versus bad guy. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about Westbrook, Durant, regular season. Like, that was a fun storyline. But I think watching two guys who used to be teammates who both could be the MVP.
Yes.
We won't know to the end of June.
Yeah.
Westbrook, hands down. That's what I
wouldn't say hands down. I would say he's a front runner now. He is a front runner.
42 career triple doubles in one season. Like,
if you were like, Josh, here's $1,000, go to Vegas and bet on MVP, I'd bet on Westbrook.
Okay. So when you say that he's not the hands down MVP, do you mean that because you don't think he deserves it?
No,
or you don't?
I just mean that there's a case for Harden. And I think if you really want to make a case for LeBron, you can make a case for LeBron, and then Kawhi has a little bit of a case. And I think that there's enough – the sports writers vote for MVP.
Yeah.
I think there's enough sports writers who think Harden is the MVP for Harden to win it. I don't think it's hands down. Hands down to me is unanimous. Like, Steph Curry last year was unanimous. I don't think everyone's going to vote for Russell Westbrook. I think it's going to be close. I think he wins it, but I think it's going to be close. Hands down to me means unanimous. I don't think he's unanimous.
Hands down to me means, I guess it should technically mean unanimous.
Yeah.
But to me, hands down means there's no way in hell. There's no way in hell that Westbrook does not win the MVP.
No. Like, Harden can win it. He can actually win it.
Like, I don't care if OKC would have had to finish ninth or 10th seed with Westbrook having the career, the season that he did, for him not to win MVP. Like, come on, I mean, he wheeled his team on his shoulders alone. No help, really.
No, he had help. That's a misconception.
Who?
Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, Victor Oladipo.
But he didn't have, like, the help of a KD. And we look
but
at...
neither did Harden.
Huh?
Neither did Harden.
See,
it's the same situation, and Harden's team did better. It really is. I think you can make the argument that Harden's cast is a little better than Westbrook's, but without Harden, the Rockets are not a playoff team. Without Westbrook, the Thunder aren't a playoff team.
I agree.
Took the Rockets further than Westbrook did. He really did.
But Westbrook broke a freaking 50-year-old, however many years old. Right. I don't know.
It's a record that I thought would never be broken.
Right.
So, and it's impressive. I can't lie and say it's not impressive. It's very impressive what he did.
Okay.
It is, despite the fact that I think he's incredibly inefficient and turns the ball over a lot. I can't sit here and say that what he did wasn't impressive.
But you got to take the sample size. I mean, you have all these points because you shoot more, and the more you shoot, the more you miss. I mean, we can go into analysis all day.
Demo says Harden said win should matter for the criteria of MVP, which is true. And then Ty Star says Westbrook is the MVP, hands down.
Thank you, Ty Star. You're my best friend. Ty Star, you're my best friend. I don't know who you are, but you're my best friend.
Welcome, Ty. Welcome.
Hey, Ty. Okay, so guys, at the end of the show, we're going to do our predictions. And Raina and Charlie just missed out on this, so screw them. Screw them. This is the part of the show where we talk about whether these topics are a big deal or not. Big deal or not. Woo. Celtics clinch the home court over the Cavs. Is that a big deal?
Nope. The Cavs are still winning that series no matter who has home court.
I say it's a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal. Listen, they could play 7 games in Boston. Cavs still won that series.
I say it's a big deal only because of the last month, how the Cavs have looked. And I don't know. I don't have any inside information. Wink, wink. But I think there's a chemistry breakdown in the Cavs locker room. And it doesn't help. And this is just all speculation. But it doesn't help to not have the best chemistry going into a playoff series where you're not home court. Like, when you're not home court, I feel like you need all the pieces to fall into place. And the Celtics have confidence, and they have nothing to lose. The Cavs have everything to lose.
That is true. The pressure is on the Cavs.
The pressure is on the Cavs. And I think this will go 7, and I'll save my prediction for later.
Okay.
But I think it's a really big freaking deal that the Celtics clinch home court from the Cavs. I really do.
I mean... All right, so the Cavs and Celtics played about a week or two ago, and the Cavs just absolutely destroyed him.
They did. They did.
Destroyed in Boston.
You're right.
So the Cavs are just the better team. I agree with you that there might be some chemistry problems going on in the locker room. I think it might be a lack of trust because most of their problems are defensively.
I agree with you on
which
that.
Which is, in defense, you have to trust that your teammate has your back. Mm-hmm. There's rotations. It's more than just like, hey, stay with your man. There's schemes to defense. And I just think that most of it's a lack of effort, too, though.
And then they do have, you know, just to piggyback off of that, they do have Kyle Korver now. So they have some other pieces.
Darren Williams off the bench, too.
Yeah. So they have some pieces that they didn't have last year.
They're older and slower.
And LeBron is like 50 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I do like what LeBron has done for the Cavs and, of course, for the Heat. And I think that he's the leader. But I think that they have all the pressures on them, and I think this is a really big deal. And the Cavs and the Celtics basically have the same home-away records.
Right.
So neither of them plays a more major strength.
But then that plays to the Cavs then. Because if Boston doesn't have that big of a strength, and if the Cavs play well on the road, then does home court really matter?
Okay.
I don't think it does. I think the Cavs, if they win, I mean, if they get to that point, which I think they will.
If it goes to game seven, it's a big freaking.
It's not going to go seven. Okay. It's not going to go seven.
Demo, TyStar, big deal or not that the Celtics clinch the home court over
Demo Kev. Says big deal. The Cavs are unraveling.
They are.
I think their win in Boston was huge. I think they approached that Boston game like a playoff game, and they showed out.
Okay, so they approached that game like a playoff game and showed out, but then they lost
to the Hawks the next time.
That's what I'm saying. So, and honestly, like, I don't know what the attitude was after those games. That they had we're the Cavs, the number one, two seed doesn't matter. But like they should have been playing their asses off to secure that one seed, I think.
I get what you're saying, but I think LeBron is at a point in his career right now where the regular season doesn't matter. And I think his team is picking up that vibe, and they're just not playing to their capabilities in a regular season. I think come playoff time, they're going to turn up.
Okay. Turn up. Lakers did turn up. Is this a big deal or not?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Come on.
They won five of
their
last.
Why are you winning? You need this draft pick.
Why? This is a big deal.
Why are you winning?
Reyna.
Why?
Why?
You need the best draft pick you can possibly get, and you want to win five out of six?
Five out of their last six. They lost to the Warriors last night, got annihilated by the Warriors. And so now that they've won so many games, they are now down to a 47% chance. Of getting the top, one of the top three.
But at the same time, like, I can't blame the players. You're fighting for a job. You want to prove that you belong in the league next year. You want to prove that you have your spot. I mean, people like D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, you're looking at the Lakers drafting Lonzo Ball. Where does that leave you?
Right.
Exactly. So you want to show out for the Lakers to be on that squad and not the Lakers, and you want to show other teams.
For another team. Yeah. For the Clippers across the hallway. Yeah, so we'll take you.
I think when people say teams tank, I don't think teams necessarily tank because the players on the court are fighting for their jobs.
Julius Randle also said to the media that we're not a team that's going to tank. He's like, if you tank, then the basketball gods come back to haunt you. Mm. That's what Julius Randle said, but he doesn't know that the basketball gods have been haunting the Lakers for the past 6 years.
Yeah, but the basketball gods were good to the Lakers in the 2000s. So
right, they were.
They were very good.
But yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal.
I'd be pissed if I were a Laker fan.
I would be too. I'm pissed the Knicks won the last game.
But I mean, you guys are up for are you guys the worst team in the East? No, the Nets are the worst team in the
East. Sixers are worse than us, and the Magic are worse than us.
God. Why didn't we get Carmelo?
I wish you did.
We need him now.
I mean, it's too late.
We need him now.
I mean, honestly, I'm not a Carmelo fan, but if there was one team he could have helped out, it was you guys.
Clippers, yes.
It really was.
Big deal or not, Marshawn Lynch knocks a phone out of some teenager's hands. Okay, so Marshawn Lynch was coming back from Vegas, which we're going to talk about that later. These little teenagers, 17-year-old kid, 18-year-old little boy, were filming him. And I guess Marshawn is really sensitive about his personal space and slapped one of the kids' phones out of his hand, and then went back into the terminal, came back out and, like, spit in the kid's direction. And one of the kids is thinking about filing an assault charge.
Wow.
Big deal or not? Big deal or not that Marshawn smacked that phone.
Smacking the phone, not really. I can understand athletes and famous people getting frustrated, especially we don't know what the kid was saying to him. Do we know?
We don't know.
I think coming back and spinning, though,
I say big deal, period.
Okay.
I mean,
because sometimes fans cross that line, though.
But if I'm filming you, even if it's from, like, 20 feet, I could be saying the most obscene thing. For him, like, if you see the video on TMZ, Marshawn Lynch, like, intentionally, like...
I didn't see the video.
Comes back to the kid and smacks his phone. Obviously, it's an 18-year-old.
What was the kid saying, though? Because sometimes, you know, fans, they pop off the mouth, like... These athletes aren't real people. They really do. I mean, you go to a game, you see what these people are saying. Yeah. These athletes. I mean,
but in that kind of environment, it's not as if you are in a close space. Like you're at the airport. You can walk anywhere else to get away from whoever's harassing you.
Yeah,
you know, like you can call one of your goons, one of your security guards, and they'll be there in a second to be your barrier. I think it was a big deal. I think it was poor judgment.
Yeah, I think the spitting part made it a big deal.
Yeah.
It's still poor judgment to knock it out of the hands of the kid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you go away and then think to yourself, all right, I'm going to go back and spit.
And then spit.
That's calculated. That's, yeah.
Is the chat room saying anything about
Demo said Celtics are winning the East. Demo!
Listen, Demo.
What?
I can't. I'm not going to disagree. I'm going to hold my comment for the end.
That's a big prediction. I don't think it's that crazy. That's going down the window.
It would be so sad if the Celtics won the East. Yeah. It would be so bad for basketball.
Oh my God, it'd be bad for LeBron's legacy. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, Adam Silver would Adam Silver would shit a brick.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. I mean, and the Celtics are one of the most storied franchises in the league, and that still would be bad for basketball.
Oh, yeah. That'll be awful.
Demo says, big deal, Marshawn needs to roll with security, keep fans away from him. Athletes are targets, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is true. Demo was right about that.
Oh, and by the way, the Raiders are locking him up. Not locking, like getting ready to lock the deal up.
They were talking about him going to the Patriots, which...
Ooh, no way.
Ugh.
I think it's going to go to the Raiders. I think the Raiders are...
I think so, too.
Okay.
I think so, too.
And maybe Richard Sherman, too?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
I'll be a Raiders fan.
For the 2 years you're in local.
Right. I'm already on Derek Carr's bandwagon.
Yeah.
Listen, this is the part of the show where we talk about these topics and see if they're fair, foul, or we can't call it.
We don't know.
City of St. Louis is suing the NFL Rams for relocating to Los Angeles. They say that they violated the league's relocation guidelines, and they are seeking more than $1 billion. The city of St. Louis is seeking more than $1 billion in damages for the Rams moving to LA.
I mean,
fair foul, can't call it.
If the NFL actually broke these policies, then it's absolutely fair. You took a whole franchise away from a city. You know how much income and you're taking away from the city?
At least $1 billion, according to St. Louis.
Exactly. So if they actually have a legitimate case, that's completely fair.
NFL says that there's no legitimate basis, of course.
Of course they did.
I say it's fair for St. Louis to sue. However, NFL is saying that they met with city officials, that this was, you know, a very planned departure,
right,
that city officials had an opportunity to lobby for the team staying, that they did their due diligence to give the Rams, to give St. Louis a chance to make their case for that team to stay, and that St. Louis's officials and governing bodies failed at proving that they would be worth staying in that city. So I won't say it's fair. You can sue all you want. You can sue whenever, whatever. But
you just got to trust the judicial system.
Right. But I say that it's foul because, I mean, come on. I mean, the Rams in St. Louis. The Rams anywhere. Can we get rid of the Rams?
No one likes the Rams. No one wants the Rams.
Can we get rid of them?
No.
Where could the Rams go besides to hell?
I heard that Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Is looking for sports teams. And Austin's one of the most poppin' cities in the U.S.
Up and coming, for sure. Yeah. Very hipster, very trendy.
Like
very...
Austin / San Antonio, they say.
Ooh.
Which are there Rams there?
Are there Rams? I'm sure there would be some Rams.
Where are Rams? I don't think there's any Rams in the United States of America.
Kansas. There could be some Rams in Kansas, no?
Let's not put an NFL team in Kansas.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Isn't that Missouri? Kansas City, Missouri. Isn't Kansas City Missouri?
But they share the border.
Yeah, it does.
I never know if the Cardinals are in the Royals, the Cardinals.
Right.
I don't know. Okay.
Kansas.
Ugh. Okay. Jimbo in the booth, here's your chance to talk to us about wrestling because Gronk makes another SmackDown appearance just this week. He splashes a beer on somebody's head, and then last week he went to a WWE event, and there was not really much physicality going on. He was just kind of there being Gronk, kind of his big lovable, quote unquote lovable self.
Yeah.
Is this fair, foul, or can't call it that Gronk is getting so much WWE action in the offseason?
I mean, Jimbo, I'm going to refer to you this one at first.
Jimbo in the booth.
Okay, this kind of goes back to what you were saying about the basketball situation.
Okay. Nice.
Romo,
I didn't do that.
Or whatever.
Nice.
So when athletes and celebrities show up on wrestling, they automatically get TV time and put in WrestleMania spots. Like, that's where Gronk first debuted, I guess you could say, was at WrestleMania. And he helped Mojo win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, you know, which is like a huge deal. But they're like celebrities and sports. They have a following, which is why they get put in these positions, which sucks for wrestlers that have been working their ass off all year to get this TV time, you know. And for someone like me, he wasn't like a standout celebrity or athlete where it's like, oh, they came and showed up and they made an impact and they did something really cool. Like
Tyson.
When
Lawrence
Taylor fought Bam Bam Bigelow at WrestleMania, and it was like a similar situation where a couple pay-per-views before he was in the front row and Bam Bam lost and he like stood up to be like, oh, it's cool, man, and shake his hand, and Bam Bam pushed him, and then that led up to the fight at WrestleMania. So it's like the get and the give situation. Where it's like, oh, you're getting all these people who normally wouldn't watch wrestling to see their celebrity or sports guy that they're into, But at the same time, you have to have them do something memorable to where it's like, oh, that was awesome. Not just like, cool, Gronk showed up on SmackDown. Threw
right.
a beer.
So,
all right.
So as a, wrestling fan, Jimbo, in the booth, would you say this was foul?
I just don't care.
Oh.
Can't call it?
You can't call it. Okay.
Can't call it.
Can't call it.
I got to go with what Jimbo says. He's a wrestling expert.
Right.
But you seem like you want to say foul.
The marketing strategist to me says fair.
Okay.
Because when you cross-promote, you do get eyes on your product that might not normally be on your product. Okay. I mean, I'm sure, I mean, of course, WWE is a multi-billion dollar industry, so they have everybody's eyes on their product. But those few people who don't watch WWE but who do watch the Patriots and who do follow Gronk's antics are going to watch WWE, and they might not have normally done that. So from a marketing perspective, it's very fair. It's so smart. But from the aspect to the regard of, I'm a true fan of wrestling. I know this, you know, Nia Jax has been...
Nia Jax is a beast. Oh, my God.
Right, she is.
Sorry.
she is.
She almost killed Charlotte. We won't get into it, but...
No, go ahead. I haven't watched her recently, but I went to one of her shows a few months ago.
Oh, cool.
But whatever. So, like, something like Nia Jax, who just got called up recently. Like, what if, I don't know, they put Ashanti or Beyonce in the ring ahead of somebody like her who has been working hard.
Right.
As a person, as a fan of the sport, I would say definitely foul. But, so I guess I'm straddling the fence.
Yeah.
If this is like the seeds planted for something, because the dude he's helping is a buddy of his, Mojo Rawley, who is a former football player. He played for the Packers, and I think we said the Cardinals.
The Cardinals, yeah.
So if this is like seeds for them to fight each other at an upcoming pay-per-view or something in the future that's really going to get eyes and people to watch that normally wouldn't watch
he's
wrestling.
He's still on the roster. He's no way he's doing that.
Yeah, he's not going to fight a real match no time soon.
The Patriots are not going to let that happen.
But it might be he might be planting a seed for his career post-Patriots.
True.
Which is not uncommon for ex-football players to go into wrestling.
Right.
And have really good careers, actually.
Yeah.
Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg was a football player. Brock Lesnar.
Tons of people. Oh, I wouldn't count.
He wasn't successful. Yeah, Brock sucked, right?
Right,
Jimbo.
The Rock.
He got cut in preseason.
All right. Well, the chat is saying, fair, Gronk should get into the ring, follow in the footsteps of Lawrence Taylor and do a match. Putting Gronk in is good for the WWE. He's a high-profile athlete. How is this bad? And then Ty Star says he should try to get back on the field, but it's still pretty cool.
And so Gronk was not—he wasn't doing anything super physical, you know, so his health is not a risk, really. He's not going to risk his back injury, you know, being agitated. But just the idea that he was at SmackDown, he was at WrestleMania, his back, he just came off of back surgery. He missed 10 games this season.
And then Demo said WCW used Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman in their prime. I do remember Karl Malone giving someone the Diamond Cutter. He was like friend
of DDP. That.
Jay Leno, man. Like Karl Malone, Jay Leno, and
what?
DDP against Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Jay Leno?
Yeah.
Like Jay Leno?
Jay Leno. And talk about getting eyes on wrestling. That was the biggest pay-per-view
you know
draw WCW ever had.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know who else was in the wrestling ring? Donald Trump. He got stunned by Stone Cold.
Can we put his ass back in the wrestling ring? WWE, can we please get that asshole back in the wrestling ring?
All right, let's move on. I had to trigger you.
Oh, jeez Louise. Shit. NFL players who participated in Vegas' arm wrestling event at the MGM Grand will be fined.
Right.
Which, again, this is another off-season activity.
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
No, well, and so, okay, so it's an interesting segue because Gronk is wrestling in the off-season.
Right.
And these NFL players who went to Vegas and participated in this arm wrestling event at the MGM Grand might be fined. James Harrison's one of them. Marquette King from the Raiders. Navarro Brown from the 49ers. Marshawn was there too, but he's retired, so he won't succumb to the fine. Is this fair or foul, or you can't call it, that the NFL might fine these players for participating in an arm wrestling event? And they're saying not because it's going to injure their bodies in the offseason, but because it's gambling related.
I think it's foul.
I think it's foul too.
I think it's foul. Gambling related. Who's gambling on arm wrestling competitions?
And even if you are, DraftKings.com, NFL, you know, Raiders.com in Vegas. Like,
right.
I mean, the NFL and all these major franchises, probably except for NHL,
right,
make so much of their other revenue comes from the fact that people are watching you because they're gambling and betting on your product.
Right. It's very hypocritical.
Come on now.
And then they have fantasy sports on top of that, which is a form of gambling.
Yes!
In a way, I guess, if you want to look at it technically.
So Gronk can...
I don't understand what their beef is with this. Are they mad that someone's making money off of their players and not seeing a dime of it?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe because with fantasy sports, the league can control it. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't understand what the NFL's beef is.
I don't know.
I don't understand. I could understand like the whole injury thing, your arm and stuff, but if you're saying that it's not because of injuries, what is it?
They're saying...
Because that's the only case you have.
Because it's gambling related.
Yeah, it's not gambling related. No one gambles on this.
God.
No one gambles on this.
Fair foul. I think it's the same. I think you just hit the nail on the head. If they would have spun it as, no, man, we're worried about your health and we don't want you to get injured,
yeah,
and not the
yeah
way that they know it's gambling related, it's just because they're not seeing it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. And shout out to TyStar and Demo. TyStar says, shout out to WCW, and Demo said WCW was fire. I was a WCW kid. Booker T, baby.
I think
Booker
I was a WWE.
Can you dig it?
F.
Can you dig it?
WCW?
WCW, that's a Diamond Dallas Page.
I don't know if I know WCW.
There we go.
I don't know.
I was a huge WCW fan.
What was WCW different than WWF?
Yeah, but then they had this invasion like storyline.
I don't remember.
They joined the WWF, and then they had like the WCW Championship going on WWF. It was interesting.
But all that became WWE.
Yes.
Okay. I used to watch WWF.
Well, there you go. I was a WCW kid. And then Demo says, foul. The NFL wants full control over these players. Not surprised.
They do.
You hit it right. Hit the nail right on the head, Demo.
Y'all are so shady, yep. NFL. Fair foul or can't call it. Tebow's minor league coach says that he is the gold standard.
Of what, though? Of human beings? Because I think we can all agree on that.
Wait, his quote is, like, bizarre. Oh, my God, I can't even find it. But basically, his coach's name is Jose Ledger, I believe. And he says that he is the best leader, that he outworks everyone, that Tim Tebow is the gold standard on the field and in the clubhouse. And his minor league coach said that he thinks that Tebow has the power to make it in the big league.
He has power, but I mean, a lot of players have the power. Do you have the skill and ability?
This is fair foul, you can't call it.
I mean, it's fair. We know this about Tebow.
I say foul.
How's it foul?
I say foul because I think that this is... Even though I'm just going to contradict myself and say, you know, the marketing strategist in me likes the Mark Cuban ploy. The marketing strategist in me likes that Gronk could go to SmackDown because it's a great crossover idea. But Tim Tebow is becoming a pawn of marketing.
He's been that way.
He is.
Since he signed a contract with the Jets.
True. True.
That was not about ability. That was about Woody Johnson wanting seats filled in MetLife Stadium.
So for this reason, and also because baseball fans and baseball purists are a lot more fanatical than, you know, fans from other sports. Like, you know, basketball fans, football fans, we'll kind of take anything, like whatever. But people who really enjoy and watch and study the game of baseball, the strategy, you know, how it's a thinking man's game, as Charlie would say, they hate this shit that Tim Tebow is getting so much press because he's not a skilled baseball player anymore.
And I'm going to take this a step further. This is why people were upset when he got that much press as a football player, because he was a terrible NFL quarterback.
He was, but he won. He won
his
when it mattered.
His team won. This goes right back to the argument we had with Brady and Romo. His team won despite his awful quarterback play. Every scout said he's a terrible quarterback. And this is the beef that everyone has always had with Tim Tebow. Has nothing to do with his faith. It has everything to do with that he was hyped up by his fans for not being as great as they say he is.
I agree. Now, listen. I agree with that Tim Tebow was an awful NFL quarterback.
Right.
However, he led those Broncos.
His defense led the Broncos. The defense led that specific team. And listen, I'm going to give him credit for having a good playoff game against the Steelers and throwing that touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas. But at the same time, they won in spite of him. You ask anyone on that team, they will tell you that. Even the receivers, Decker, Demaryius Thomas. When Peyton Manning came in, they were like, oh my God, it's finally great to have a good quarterback. And look what they did. They went to a Super Bowl, and then they eventually won
a Super Bowl.
So that team had Super Bowl potential.
All I'm saying is that Tim Tebow sucks as an NFL quarterback.
Right.
Yes, we agree on that.
Right.
But I do think that there's some value to being a better than average game manager where you don't throw the game away. Like,
but he only dropped back to pass like 7 times in some games.
Did he win two playoff games?
One.
Only one?
One.
Yeah. I thought he won 2.
No, he won 1. They beat the Steelers and then they got smashed against the Patriots.
Oh, duh, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that comment is fair, though. But we already know this about Tebow. We already know Tebow is one of the greatest human beings to walk this planet. And if he dated my sister, I'd be thrilled to have him as my brother-in-law. But we're talking sports here.
Jesus, take the bat. Tim Tebow. It's Easter this weekend. Happy Easter, Tim.
Yes. There we go.
Happy Easter, Tim. What's chat room saying about Tim Tebow?
Tebow is so fire. Gold standard, nah.
Oh, man.
That's kind of contradictory, though.
Who said that? Demo?
Demo, yeah.
Demo. Get it together, Demo.
He's a gold standard person, not a gold standard player. Baseball player or football player.
Or football player, no.
He's a hell of an athlete, though. To even make it that far in two sports, you got to be a hell of an athlete.
He has a great
body.
And I
give him credit for that.
I give him credit for his body. I give him credit for his ass. In case you missed it. The Cubs get blinged. They're blinged out World Series rings. 214 diamonds at 5.5 carats, 3 carats of red rubies, 2.5 carats of sapphires, has a Cubs logo on it, has 108 diamonds surrounding the Cubs logo, which, of course, pays homage to the 108-year drought.
Yep.
And there's a goat on it, too. And they had this huge ceremony.
Good for them. I mean, the rings are beautiful. You
they
see?
Are pretty.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the pitchers was saying that he can't drive with it. He was like, this thing is too... He's like, I can't do anything with
it. Beautiful ring.
Okay, in case you missed it for you TMZers, Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn call it quits. Are you sad?
Nah, I'm kidding.
Do you like Olivia Munn?
Not really.
No?
I don't see the big deal about
people
it.
People think that she's just the hottest shit.
I don't think she is. Do you?
I think I've tried to convince myself that she is.
I mean, I don't think she's... I'm indifferent towards her. I don't.
Me too. I'm indifferent too.
She doesn't do anything for me. I don't look at her and go, ew. I don't look at her and go, ooh. I'm just.
Right. And I don't know enough about her body of work to say, oh, she's a talented actress. What is chat room saying?
Tebow is a marketing employee at this point.
Yeah. He is.
Oh, Dima, when I said Tebow is fire, she meant hot.
Yeah.
So, okay. Tebow so Tebow is so hot.
Tebow is. Yes. But here's some more insight. Scoop, but Raina would appreciate this. Aaron Rodgers, apparently, his family doesn't like Olivia Munn. And apparently he hasn't talked to his parents.
But his parents don't like him.
Well, so the story is that the wedge was created because Olivia doesn't like them.
Oh.
And so that he didn't talk to his parents for several years that he dated Olivia.
I didn't know that.
That's what the street committee is saying.
Okay.
Don't know how true that is, but... I'm just here to report what the street committee says.
Okay.
You're never, ever, ever, ever going to have a happy life if your mom does not get along with your wife.
Thank you.
There we go.
Just keeping it real.
Thank you.
There we go.
Good job, Aaron Rodgers.
And also, if you get along with your mother-in-law, that helps.
There you go. Yeah. See?
Aaron Rodgers has been life advice with Jimbo in the booth.
Exactly. comedian Charlie Murphy died.
R.I.P.
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 Dave Chappelle skits, the Prince, and the...
One of the best skits of all time.
Rick James skit.
One of the best skits of all time. I met him.
Did you? Where?
I met Charlie Murphy in Nyack, New York.
At a show?
That's where I'm from. I'm from Rockland County, Nyack. No, he was doing a comedy club. We have a comedy club called Levity Live at the Palisades Mall, and he was spending the weekend there, and there's a strip of bars. Like, it's called Main Street.
Yeah.
And he was out. I have a picture of him.
Oh, do you? We should have put that on the rundown.
I could probably send it to Jimbo really. No, I don't have it on my phone.
Aw.
Yeah, I should have. You're right.
I didn't realize that he was older
Follow
than
Follow him on Twitter and see it later.
Right, yeah. That's right.
I should tweet it up.
Josh_Rodriguez_
Right. Yeah. Did we miss anything today?
No. I want to get the predictions because we got a wrap soon. And
oh, yes, predictions. Can we get the predictions music or the predictions?
AfterBuzz? The AfterBuzz prediction?
But BHL has it too, though, don't we?
No, you don't.
We don't have. Do you see how y'all do us? This is discrimination.
Hey, you got the AfterBuzz one. Hey.
Okay, we'll take it.
Predictions. Thanks, Jibbo.
Okay, so how we're going to do this? Let's just
go down the series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Take turns or just...
You say it.
Okay. I don't know what I'm stalling here.
All right.
Celtics, Bulls, Celtics in 4.
Celtics in 6.
Cavs, Pacers, Cavs in 5.
Cavs in 5.
Raptors, Bucks, Bucks in 6.
Raptors in 7.
Wizards, Atlanta in 6.
Wizards in 6.
Western Conference Finals.
Here we go.
Western Conference Playoffs. Golden State, Portland, Golden State in 5.
Golden State in 4.
Spurs, Memphis, Spurs in 6.
Spurs in 5.
Rockets, OKC, Rockets in five.
Rockets in six. Five, really?
What?
Really? That's interesting. Because a lot of people have the Thunder winning that series.
Ooh, who?
A lot of experts that I've watched on. Experts.
Experts.
Yeah.
Clippers, Jazz, Clippers in seven.
Clippers in seven, only because they have home court. I think that home court was so huge that they got that. So, honestly, if the Jazz got home court, I think I might have picked the Jazz. But I think Game 7 in Los Angeles, if there is a Game 7, is huge. And I think that Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, they're just too talented for that team
right
now.
They are. But I can say this. And I didn't tweet you back, so I tweeted last night. I tweeted last night, if the Clippers don't deliver this postseason, then blow this ish up. And you asked the question, what does deliver? Define deliver.
Define deliver.
For the Clippers, the definition of deliver means getting to the Western Conference Finals.
Fair. That's fair. And they're going to have to go through Golden State.
And that's not going to happen. Blow it up.
Yeah. You know, they had that one year, they blew a 3-1 lead to the Rockets. That was their year.
That was it. That was it.
That was their year because they were hot. Before they blew that 3-1 lead, they were the hottest team in the playoffs.
They were
playing the best basketball out of anybody. They would have beat the Rockets, and then you play Golden State.
They could have beat that Golden State team. Wait.
They could have. The Warriors won the championship that year. But if anybody could have beat them in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it was us. It was
the Clippers. That was their year. And I'm afraid they blew it.
Too bad. So sad. Your dad. Oh, chat room.
Demo says Celtics, Cavs, Raptors, Wizards.
Celtics, Cavs. He has the Raptors and not the Bucks? And you have the Wizards, Demo, and not Atlanta?
Yeah.
What do you have for the West, Demo? Did you West? No, nothing?
Nothing yet. But yeah.
Okay.
I'm rooting for the Bucks, though. I want the Bucks to win so bad.
They will.
I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong.
In six.
I hope I'm wrong, because I don't like the Raptors.
Okay.
But I think they're talented. I think DeRozan and Lowry might be a little too much Ibaka now. Oof. You know?
Yeah.
And I think the Clippers, the Clippers Jazz can be a great series. I think Gobert would make a difference if DeAndre was hurt or something like that, but DeAndre's going to cancel him out, and they're not just going to have enough firepower from the guards.
And DeAndre's never hurt, by the way.
Yeah.
Ever.
I think DeAndre and Gobert cancel each other out, and then it's just too much from the Clippers.
Who's the Jazz's
point? Gordon Hayward. Oh, Shelvin Mack right now is a point guard. I don't even know who's starting for the. You know,
it's a bunch of no name. It's like a no name firepower.
Dante
team.
Exum.
Oh, I don't know these people.
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson. Yeah, Joe Johnson. I know him, of course, but no one else I know. Well, Hayward.
Okay. Hayward's a beast. They just play very well together. They're a very disciplined team.
They're like the little baby Spurs.
Yeah, Demo says Warriors, Spurs, Rockets, Clippers.
Warriors, Spurs, Rockets, Clippers. Yes.
And she says the Clippers just need to get out the first round.
But that's what we do every year.
And so. That's a narrative. Chris Paul, too. Can't get past the second round.
Guys, thank you for hanging with me.
This was fun.
It was fun.
This was a lot of fun.
So from now on, no more rain and no more. I'm kidding. They have not been fired. They have other obligations today. Yep. They don't love us. Every Thursday night, Sports Squad. I swear I'm not farting. This is like my chair. Like my shorts keep hitting the back of this chair. Every Thursday night, your favorite Sports Squad, Sports Weekly, BHL. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, on InstaStory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D. I'm having car trouble, so I'm going to be like DMing you guys your suggestions on what I should do next.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Josh_Rodriguez_. Also, you can download the Anchor app and follow my sports station 10-Minute Drill with AJ Kelly. If you think I'm knowledgeable, wait till you hear him speak. He knows a lot more stats than I do, so... If you like sports, follow us.
And follow his friend Landon, whose song we played at the beginning of...
LVN DVN on SoundCloud. He has a pretty big following, which is pretty cool.
He's,
you know, got a couple placements. His one song, Dragon, got 150,000 plays.
Oh,
and
nice.
He just released this Moonlit District track, which you heard. So
maybe we'll have him on the show one day.
He's in Jersey, but if he comes out to Los Angeles, absolutely.
Okay, maybe when he comes out here.
And shout out to A-Rod, by the way.
A-Rod. Oh, he
has a song out with Pitbull and J-Lo.
Ooh.
On his new album called Sexy Body.
A-Rod is a friend of the show.
So there you go.
As always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram. Yes. I need a big Instagram page. At BHL Sports Weekly. Until next Thursday night, watch for our predictions. Watch the playoffs to see how right or how wrong.
Can't wait.
Next Thursday. See you.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.